What's up, everybody? You are listening to the Relay Podcast. I'm sitting here today with Matt, Peter, and Laura Tweet.
Hey, guys. What's up, man? That's my normal voice.
Here we are.
Let's get into it.
Matt is like, I'm upset with the first part of this show.
Matt is so chagrined. He's not going to let anyone else ever do the intro
Never.
Again.
It's just going to be...
We're like the kids in the minivan, and he's like, he and Lindsay are up front, like, who wants to take turns driving? Like,
we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, go ahead, Matt.
That's it. That's you it. You this. Guys keep acting up. No McDonald's. No McDonald's on the way home.
Yeah. I'm gonna pull this car right over, guys. It is the welcome to the biggest road racing week of the calendar. Every year, the most Americans run a road race this week than any week of the year.
I love that. That's
Turkey
great.
Trot season.
I don't know if that's true or not, but it sounds right on the money.
Is that
my understanding for years.
It makes sense, though. I mean, honestly, like, it makes sense, though, because I think Detroit's is like maybe almost 10,000 people. And then, so if you do that, yeah, if you over like the all the different
Dallas
races,
is even
you know,
bigger. Dallas is like 20.
Well, everything's big in
that's
Texas.
Insane.
Everything's big in Texas.
So then imagine that, like, and if it was only 20 states doing that, it would be bigger than any marathon weekend.
Okay. I got an idea. I know we've all, as kids, we all talked about this, like, you know, if like you dig a hole deep enough, you can dig to China. That was always one of the things. If we all run in the same direction on Thanksgiving.
Do you think we can move the earth?
I think we can do it. If we're all doing it, if we're all running.
Yeah.
Maybe we all have to wear.
You're just
we
hopping
have to
up
wear
and
spikes.
Down, man.
This might be this turns into a cross country episode. We get on the grass, can really dig our toes in with the spikes, kind of kick behind us. Yeah. I think we can do it.
I feel
you're
like
a teacher. I love this. I love this for you.
It's like we'd have to. We'd have to go the opposite direction, right? Like if we go the opposite direction.
Oh, so you
want to
stop the Earth moving? I was thinking we can speed it up.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I feel like that would be like time traveling in some weird way. Like so if we slow
maybe
it down
that is how you time travel maybe that's how you open the continuum
haven't you seen what's the name of that movie the guy at Flash that's how he did it he went real fast
oh yeah
so we're all so are we all running west or east we got to figure this out this is important stuff
which way does the earth, which yeah. way does the earth spin
oh
first
my
off?
God Tommy
well the flat plane just moves
because the earth's flat though so the earth's flat though,
I don't
so
know
is it like a record spin
if you guys have ever had like an iconic moment of turkey trotting that you thought like, oh yeah, this is a different type of day. I rolled up to a turkey trot a few years ago and there was just a guy standing outside the gymnasium finishing a cigarette. And I'm like, yeah, like this is the day of the year when everyone joins us in our madness for maybe like a half hour. Like
if cigarette guy runs it in a half an hour, then he's got some serious potential.
That's true.
if you're listening to this running podcast, you're not a runner and you're currently smoking cigarettes and you finish your 5K in 30 minutes, hire a coach because you got a future ahead of you.
You got some
hit me up.
You got some potential.
Untapped potential. Here we go. All right, I'm curious. How long are each of your turkey trots? What's the distance?
Mine's 4 miles. Two up and then two down.
Like out and back? We know you don't like out and barks.
It's a square. So you go like out the first two, like slightly up. Apparently it's only like 60 feet, but it feels way steeper than that. And then you make this like hard right-hand turn at the end of 2 miles, and then you come back down like the opposite side.
Is this a Denver boulder thing that we see on Strava? You're like, that has to be in Colorado.
This is a Fort Collins.
Oh yeah, Fort Collins. Okay.
It's one of the most, like, I joke today, but I was half serious. Like, it's one of my more competitive races every year is this one. Like, I have lined up next to Olympians. I have lined up to international teams to do this turkey trot. I sold my soul last year and was fourth.
Was it worth it? Was it worth it to sell your soul for not even getting on the podium?
Well, it's funny because it's like my goal in February is to be top three and make an Olympic team. But my goal for Fort Collins is to just be top five.
That is incredible. That's incredible.
Moving up. You got to set those incremental goals.
It's the small wins, Laura.
It is the small wins. So I was on the track today tuning up for it. Like, I'm ready.
I saw those 200s on Instagram.
I'm doing it.
Can we talk about how Peter called it an out and bark and tried to like act as if he didn't say that?
I hate out and barks for sure.
Oh no. My brain is spinning slowly, guys.
Are you running with your apologies. Dog, Laura? Is this an out and park or is this an out and back?
Oh, that would be that'd be so cute. Like if there was a race, like a dog race, and it was like runners brought their dogs and they let them race, and it was like called the out and bark. That'd be good.
Out and park. They used to do a race like that here in Boulder where like you did race with your dog. Like that was one of the requirements to do the race. It like raised money for like shelters and things like that.
Oh, cool.
But it wasn't called the out and bark.
It should have been.
That's great.
What was that? What was it called? Race for Dogs and Shelters? Lame, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that was the name of it.
The starting line must have been absolute madness. Dogs next to each other while they're on leash, they lose their minds.
I didn't realize till a few years ago that times where people are running with their dogs are faster because they're being
pulled
through the air with a leash. Like I first saw someone had run a 5K and you're like, that time must be incorrect. Like no way. And then you look it up and no, sure enough, like it's like being a sled dog. People will run like super fast miles, super fast 5K is being pulled by their dog. And that just
this is
flying through.
This is patently untrue. The only time this would ever even be true is if it was like Mike Tyson running with his lion, who would actually pull him. Like no one's dog can pull them through the air.
No. So like more of the time you're running, you're in the air anyway. So your stride would just be like this much longer because something's pulling you while you're in the air.
Think about it from the dog's perspective.
Do you love it when you know your friend is just like going out on a limb that is going to get cut off and they're going to fall to their failure? Yeah. Like this is absolutely true. I am not BSing.
Think about
this podcast
from the dog's perspective, whose leash is tied around their neck, that they're pulling you. Someone who weighs
by
four times as much as they do.
Your dog has a beautiful harness. He is a happy man.
Yeah, I'm a homeless person too, so.
Yeah, like, come on, Matt.
Come on, Matt.
No, it's a thing. Like, people break four in the mile with running straight down the road with their dog just pulling them through the air. It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. Tommy, thank you for bringing in the
science. You said pulling it. You kind of made it like, my dog pulled me through the air for a mile, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like a cartoon.
I was still implying physics was still applied there.
No.
That it stretches out your stride length dramatically.
I mean, that's what Ellie meant when he said no human is limited in small print. Small print with your dog.
With man's best friend.
Yeah, you get that. You put on the alpha paws and you're ready to roll.
Alpha paws. Alpha paws. Alpha paws 3.
Shut it down. This podcast has already peaked.
Yeah, I think we're done here.
We can't get better. We can't get any
guys,
better.
Guys, it's
than
been
this.
Fun. So, 10-minute podcast this week, and I'll see you later. So we have a 4-miler. Tommy, how long is your turkey trot?
We have a mile, a 5K, and a 10K. So like people do like the drumstick double, which would be like the 10K because it starts before the 5, and then you finish the 10K and you run over to back to the start to do the 10K, and then you run over to the start to do the 5K. Or you can do the mile and a 5K. It's a lot going on. A lot of people there.
Which one are you going to shove your son down?
He wants to do the 5K, and I'm debating whether I let him do his thing and then just watch and take some pictures and videos, or I run with him. It's going to be like 25 degrees. It's always super cold on Thanksgiving morning for here, so I don't really want to do it.
And how does the 5K play into, like, I think Detroit Thanksgiving traditions? Like, obviously the Lions playing on Thanksgiving is, like, a big part of that. So do you, like, go right from 5K to, like, watching the Lions? Or is it, like, not necessarily part of the routine?
Well, so, like, the sponsor of the race is the Strategic Solutions something. They also host...
Sounds like that sponsorship's really working out for them.
All I remember is S3. It's 3 S's, right? So, but they host the parade. So the parade is right at the parade downtown is right after the race. So like people just, a lot of families come down there and then they just stay around because the Thanksgiving Day parade happens right after that, like right in the same area. So it's actually really fun.
Those are always great setups because like ensures great fan support because people are already lining up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. Yep.
So guys, my neighbor, a bunch of my neighbors have been getting into they ran a team relay together. We have the Hood to Coast. These happen all over the country. So we have a bunch of more like newly passionate neighbor runners. And one of them, she's an awesome, energetic woman, is like, I want to put on a turkey trot. I'm like, okay. So then I've been working with her sort of in support to fill in the details, fill in the gaps to make this. So we've settled on a 2 miler. She laid out a 2 miler that went across a major road nearby, like the largest street in our neighborhood. And I was like, maybe not. Maybe we don't need to sprint across that one. So I'm working on the route and then course marking I'm in charge of. So I've been in touch with my friend Darcy, who leads Take the Bridge.
Darcy Bud.
Yeah, ooh. Darcy Bud. So she knows all about, she's like, here's how you do it. Like, and she gave me all these tips on how to mark a course in a low impact way. But I've been curious if this is how it is for you, if you talk to people about your turkey trots. I've been trying to hang back and not spread the word because I feel like our community turkey trot coming from me sends the wrong message. It's doesn't as much as I try to.
If you're doing it, if you're the one that's like spearheading it, it'll be less of a jogger's race, I think.
Precisely, precisely. I'm trying to be all inclusive, all welcoming, and people are like, "Wait a second, are you running?" And I'm like, "I don't like your tone." In like,
maybe because they know you're gonna pull up in like Alpha Fly Sixes.
Alpha Fly Sixes, and I'm just going to shove little children aside. No, I will be running this 2 miler with my son, and we're going to eat donuts after. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but that's awesome.
People don't trust us because we're runner nerds. I'm just
so why is it a 2 mile? When you said 2 mile race, I just assumed it was because like there's a common popular route that happens to be 2 miles. Why go with the 2 mile distance?
It's an interesting question. I am the receiver of this. I'm open to new possibilities. Like, you know,
isn't this race in like 3 days? Nerd, again, how many new possibilities can you possibly be open to?
As we started working on this 2 weeks ago, you know, my brain goes 13.1 miles, clearly.
Right.
And, you know, a new runner in my neighborhood who's super excited, and she's like, 2 miler, sounds good.
Okay.
And I'm like, see, that's a new approach to the sport that we love. I love it. So I'm like, yeah, let's do 2 miles. And guess what? If it's 2.057, it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I raced a 2 mile turkey trot years ago up here. And I will say I beat Elise Cranny. Granted, she was in high school.
Booyah. Hey.
But so I'm just saying 2 mile turkey trots. again, a turkey trot was one of my greatest races. It's like one of the highlights of my career. Greatest achievement.
Granted, she was in ninth grade, you know.
Granted, she was a freshman.
Oh, she was.
Guys, I would not mess around with a ninth grade high school girl. Like, they crush.
No, yeah.
See, this is the magic of editing. We can turn that little piece there into like our Instagram breakout, and we just have to take out the second half of the sentence.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of us turn up to turkey trots, and like that's again one of the goals is to not get like creamed by a high school team.
Right. You know? Well, that's the thing. Like, you have different age groups. You got the middle schoolers who only know what it's like to race in gym class, and because they won their gym class race, they assume that they should be at the front middle of every starting line until they get proven otherwise. So they're going to take off, right? And you got the high schoolers who are next to them being like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm better than my younger brother, younger sister, and I'm just going to take off, you know, near them, but then I should win the race, right? And then you have like the 47-year-old who's done this turkey trot for like 37 consecutive years and like ends up pulling it out like the last half mile. I feel like there's like the age, I think if you had to like do like age splits, the 1 mile mark, the 2 mile mark, and the 3 mile mark, like
that's
they would progressively get older and older and older in terms of like the top 10 as they progress through the race.
No, that's true.
I think that's probably very true. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for that, I lined up. It turns out that my wife grew up on an island in Rhode Island that has one of the most competitive turkey trots like on the East Coast outside of the Manchester Road Race. I have never finished higher than third, I think. And my family always looks at me like, oh. Didn't you say you do a lot of this running stuff? but yeah, you know, maybe you should pick up a new hobby. And so on the line, this high schooler a couple of years ago was right behind me talking about how he had just done a 2 mile time trial with, you know, coming off of cross country leading into indoor track. And I was like, thankfully, it's a 5 mile turkey trot. And so I blasted the first mile to try to get away from this kid, because I'm like, if he is anywhere close to me in the final mile and a half, he's going to be like just blitz on by. So
did it work? You're not going to finish the story?
Oh, sorry. I beat this high school kid to a pulp, and then, but I was, Matt knows Bronson Venable. He's a local Rhode Island.
Bronson's great.
Road racing champion. Bronson will travel around like over a weekend. He'll hit like a Friday night road race you didn't know existed, then win a Saturday morning race, and then win a Sunday. Like, he just cleans up. So, I walked straight into that buzzsaw.
Bronson's a crusher. I first raced Bronson when he was like 12, and he just dominated. He actually, people might know Bronson Venable because he actually was one of those guys who, like, at the Boston Marathon took it out and was leading for the first like mile of the race, just like as a goof, but like was actually legitimately good enough to do that and not like have to then like quit the race after doing it. So he like let it out, kind of like how Yuki did in 2018. It's like, and off the front is checks notes. Bronson Venable?
That was back when they had the mass start, RIP. Shout out to Everyone Starts Together. But we've evolved that.
So are you racing that? Are you coming to Rhode Island this year? No, you're doing this race that you'll finish finalizing the morning of the race and you'll have people show up.
Exactly. Yeah, a 2 miler. Sorry. Now I'm just hyping up this like a little donut race that we're hosting. But Laura, how many?
No, what about poor Matt? I'm not racing.
Yeah, there's a bunch of turkey trots around here. Like every town has one around here. I don't know about you guys. Yeah. Every town has one. It's insane.
Well, that's how it is here. You can go to any of the surrounding towns.
But only one really matters, though. You know?
Yeah. So there's some that are getting a little bit more high profile than others. One Peter's done, people like to go to. I have two favorite turkey trot stories. One of them was I worked at Roger Williams University right out of college, and they started turkey trot. It was the first year of it, and it was like 100 people. It was like 95 hungover college kids and like 5 athletic staffers, and I was one of them. Came in second, won a pie, the only thing I've ever won at a running race. So there you go, professional runner. I earned some dough, or you know, in kind money. And then The other one was that I ran a turkey trot in my
he's on fire folks he's
down.
On fire.
So the other one was in my hometown, Barrington, Rhode Island. They had like the annual like St. Luke's Turkey Trot, which was a really good race. You know, like again, that wouldn't draw people in, but everyone who lived around there would run it. Again, like Peter mentioned, like the guy with the cigarette just does one race a year. Like that was the thing. But once, so I went back a couple of years ago, be like, I wonder like how I ran. Like I was pretty fit. I was like, you know, senior in high school, you know, and I was like, all right. Like I just, you know, I was getting ready for my high school basketball season. So I was like, how fast did I run that 5K? I ended up finding it on like some godforsaken website. So I scroll down to find my name, but I started like right from the top. Cause like maybe I caught top 5. I don't know. Guess who was second on the list of this like super local 5K that no one ever heard of? Mario Fraioli, number 2, runner up at the Barrington, Rhode Island St. Luke's 5K.
Oh man. Never taken a chill approach to racing. No. Never.
So then I was sitting there like, wait, was Mario happy with the number 2? Or was he like, oh my God, I can't even win the Barrington, Rhode Island turkey trot. Like, I better get into communications about running instead of being a professional runner.
But wait, why aren't you doing either of those, Matt? Why aren't we trotting on Thursday?
I prefer to talk about running these days. As opposed to actually doing
it. As opposed to actually doing it.
We're going to have a Friday episode that's Matt intervention episode.
If you want to see how my running's going, again, I'll plug my Strava account. You can see in real time how things are going. It's going great. Going great, guys.
Aww. I'm determined to right this ship, but we will get there. Wait, Laura, I'm curious. Do you know heading in who's going to be there? Or is it the classic, like,
no, it's shake the classic. Out. You just show up to pick up your packet the day of, and you're like, oh shit, like they're there. Like, are you kidding? Like, it's always so fun to just like see who turns out, because it's one of those where like they give money as well as pies. So there's money for top 5. So like it always draws people out of the woodwork. And then you have people doing it, prepping for CIM. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. So I don't know. It's always a fun surprise to just roll in and be like, oh, cool. I'm racing like eight people. That,
team like, team boss finishes like second.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be a teams race. That would actually be fun.
At least Granny's like, I did better at this race when I was a sophomore in high school. She comes back. That's her first introduction to team boss, getting ninth at the Fort Collins Turkey Trot.
Laura, do you, I feel like you almost, when you go to those races, I don't really do this, but like almost in my head, I'm like, I got to practice how I'm going to be like, oh, hey, good to see you, man. So glad you're like, awesome. You're here at this race, because like inside I'm like, damn it. Yes. I'm moving myself down the notch. Oh, I haven't seen you in a year. So glad you're here. Yeah. I don't want to cry in front of them before the race.
Yeah, no, that would. Yeah, that again,
it's
cool.
Always fun. Thanksgiving surprises. So stay tuned. Not sure who I'm racing, but I can.
So are you
imagine.
Going full tilt?
You never know. I may show up.
Are you going full tilt?
Yeah, I want to win. I got to get this W. Like I said, this is sometimes turkey trots are like some of my highest accomplishments on my resume. Got to get these W's where you can get them.
I hear
you
that.
You finished third at a USATF event. I don't want to call that.
No.
Nope.
Biggest road race day of the year.
None of that matters. Biggest road racing weekend of the year. This is where I want to shine. So this is what I've prepared for. I trained through this. I did a half, you know, but it's all for to like to peak.
I did think it was a bold strategy not to taper for the half. So because you had your eyes glued on Fort Collins.
Yeah. Yeah. But now I'm tapering.
Here we go. I was talking to a coach about marathon prep, and he was talking about the physiological benefits of a very hard workout about 10 days out from a marathon to just really get the body revved up and the stride going. And I was like, oh yeah, that tracks with the turkey trots that I've done before CIM. It is actually the perfect time to just go full bore and then just use the rest as a taper. So I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah. Tis the season, turkey trots and CIM.
It's also cross country. Will you tell me about
cross country?
Yeah, where's your head at with cross country? Give us a rundown.
Yeah, I sadly didn't get to see the races because I was at a high school race with my kids this weekend. Not my kids. I always say that. People are like, oh, I didn't know you had kids. With the high school team that I coach. I was at Nike Southwest. But I saw the results. And yeah, typical cross country. There were some upsets. It was great. It had all the things that looked like that you want to see at a championship race. So yeah, awesome. Awesome stuff.
This is NCAA championship cross country for those who didn't follow along. Yeah. Oh yeah. Early morning here on the West Coast, but pretty amazing races. Always super exciting to watch. And now I was sending the broadcast to some friends. Everything is better photographed with drones, but I'm just like, cross country is significantly improved with drone footage. It's just like really captures how fast the kids sprint off the line.
Yeah, it looked like a fast day. Like what? I think the top three women like all set like a new course record. Like they were rolling.
Wow.
Also, I think it's really impressive that Parker Valby, the winner, on the women's side, she said in her interview that she only runs like 2 to 3 days a week. I was like, what am I doing?
Same as last year. She did the same thing last year.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, it just goes to show, it just depends on who you are. But there are different ways to get to that level. There are different ways to approach it. But I thought that was really fascinating. I would never have thought.
Yeah. Because it's health related, right? It's because she's been battling injuries for such a long time.
Yeah.
That's tough. You wonder, like, obviously she's like one of the most talented runners, you know, in the NCAA. News break, she won the freaking race. But what I'm trying to say is,
okay.
I'm so good at this talking about running. But like, you also wonder like how that's going to work, like from a professional standpoint in the future, right? Say like she wants to race distances longer than a 5K or do something against a higher level of competitor and things like that. Like obviously, like she's trying her best and doing things that are working at the moment, but you also wonder, like, you know, is this something that, you know, is, you know, what's it going to be like in order to race the world's best in terms of figuring out a way to train to do that that's going to be sustainable if even running more than three times a week in college is something that you can't really do.
College running is like a investment firm. Like, past performance is no indication of future success. Like, these things, people have, it's its own amazing test kitchen for endurance sports, but you're just sometimes like, wow, this was remember that person in college? They were the best. And then, you know.
Well, and also like racing and training in college is so different because like the NCAA system is brutal. Like, you have three seasons, like you never have an off season. You have cross country, indoor, outdoor, and then you do it again. So the way that you train and you have to approach surviving the collegiate system and having success there, I think it looks very different, like when you actually come out into the real world, so to speak, or like climb your way through like the professional ranks. Like, it's very different how you would set up like your races and like when you do that, when you have off seasons, things like that. You're not racing constantly like all year round. When you leave the collegiate system, you don't have to do that anymore. So I think training and how you approach it can be very different than like probably how she has to approach, again, just surviving like the grind that is the collegiate like running scene.
It's, and I think how I said it came off more negative than I intended to. Like, I'm definitely rooting for her and I hope she does great, but it'd be interesting to see if she has, say she has a new coach post-college, like most college athletes do, how that coach approaches her, her training, and maybe if there's any underlying issues that they want to address at the start of her career that maybe, like, you know, from a surgery perspective, yeah, or, you know, long-term PT perspective, is not something you'd want to do in the middle of a college career.
I mean, I cross-trained a ton going into Atlanta. Like, I only ran like, I think I averaged like 65 miles a week going into Atlanta. So I was like doing something similar. I was running more than 2 to 3 days a week, but I was only running 6 days a week. I took one day fully off and cross trained and then did all my doubles in the pool. So again, it's just like the same kind of thing. I couldn't stay healthy. So it's like, how do you get to a start line healthy and ready to go? You have to get creative and like tweak training where you need to be able to do that. So, you know, I'm sure the process would be like similar for someone like that, where you increase and you get stronger and you develop. But you have to, you know, it may not look the way that it looks for everyone else as far as like traditional training. So yeah, I thought it was cool that she shared that. Cause again, it just like shows people that there are different ways to do it and you just have to figure out what you need to stay healthy. Cause if you can't stay healthy at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And if you can't get that consistency, then it doesn't matter. So you have to kind of figure out what you need, and everyone is so different with what that looks like.
I had a interesting learning from someone who knows Kira D'Amato in the last couple of years, because he was like, you got to, this is our friend Jake, who's friends with her. He's like, you got to understand, she was among the best in the NCAA when she was in school. She would keep getting hurt, particularly after college. And so it took her years to figure out how to stay healthy. And then given her talent level and then her new knowledge, you know, her growing knowledge of how to stay healthy, she's been able to layer on the work to reach a new level. And he's like, you know, she was contemporaries with the Molly Huddles of the world, but Molly's someone who's been able to miraculously like stay decently healthy throughout a long, long career. So we know of her and we know of her accomplishments. Whereas there are other athletes who just like, you see sparks, you see, you know, moments of success, and then they sort of disappear because they can't stay healthy. So it was like, oh, wow. Yeah, there are a lot of talented kids who come through the NCAA that you just never hear from again for any life circumstance. And also they just aren't able to stay healthy. And they're like, screw this, I'm out.
And Laura, I wanted to bring something up about the race itself. I think we saw, probably all of us saw Caitlin Tuohy's reaction once it became clear that NC State had won the team title for the third year in a row. Caitlin Tuohy was the reigning NCAA champion, had an unbelievable college career. She came in fifth in the individual race, but NC State, her team, gets the team title. She like dissolves into a puddle of tears. It's like an awesome moment to see captured on video. And obviously, like, that's the sort of thing, like, it's the epitome of a team race, because each person, their place is so important, right? So like how well the fifth person does is just as important as how the first person does, right? Every place is important. Laura, you've been in these races yourself. You now coach athletes who compete in these races. How do you, you know, from an athlete and a coach, let, you know, approach that sort of dynamic, which is so different from a motivational perspective than the normal racing strategy or racing mindset that someone may have?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why cross country is so special, or one of the reasons it is, because you have that team component, and running, so much of running is so individual, which is great. But I think cross country pulls in, like, you're not just out there by yourself and you're not just competing for yourself. And so I always like remind my kids, like you just said, like, you know, you're not only running for yourself and like your own goals, but like you're also fighting and running for your team. And so when it gets really hard, like it probably did for Caitlin, and you know, it's not your individual day, maybe isn't going the way that you want it to, or you envisioned it going, like you still have something to fight for because you're fighting for the other people on your team. And you're fighting for, like you said, every place matters, even if it's not the day that you have, that you want individually. And so I think that's what makes cross country just so special. And then to see moments like that, like I'm sure she wanted the win, you know, defending her own title. And, you know, you invest so much in these big championship races, especially in college. That's what your season's focused around. But then for her team to still get that win, that third back to back to back, and to see how like much that means to her on top of like what her own success means, it's really cool. And so that's also what I tell my kids, is like, you're not just out there for yourself, you're out there for all of your teammates. And the teams I've coached that have had a lot of success, they understand that. And like, that's what fuels them. And you kind of foster that environment on your team. And you're all supporting and encouraging and cheering on one another, because that also matters. So it is really cool. So it's fun to see that. It was fun to see that moment.
And wasn't the men's and women's race each a 1 point victory?
The men's wasn't. I think the men's was like 20. Right.
I'm remembering the quote from the Oklahoma State coach was like, they're like, what does it take to win? He's like, one better than Northern Arizona, because they're going to be really good. But that's right. They had like a historic performance. They had like five in the top 20 or something.
Yeah. The nuts. Women's was a 1 point. Like, that's crazy. Like 1 point.
And the live tracker went like, it flipped and flopped. I was watching it live and you're like, so
can
it's
you,
just totally
can you
nuts.
Do that again? Okay, thank you.
I mean, we don't talk a lot about team cross country on this podcast, but it is one of the coolest things you could ever be a part of. The fact that there's almost more pressure on the fifth or sixth runner of a team, because for Caitlin, she needs to hold it together. Ideally, if she wins or gets third, like the numerical difference is so small, whereas like the pressure on the fifth runner to bring it home. And then I always felt as a back of the varsity runner myself, like a lot of pressure from the people who weren't racing, who were like cheering and running. The team members who didn't make the team, they're kind of like looking at you like, you better bring it, because like I wanted that spot, and it was, you know, maybe questionable whether I should have been in that jersey today. And you're like, okay, no, I get it, like I'm gonna run hard.
That's cool. I didn't think about that. I mean, I just started running at 34, so.
Well, you have a you can do relays though, right? Relays are pretty similar.
I just did a relay for my first relay, and it was the most, like, I almost like my friend Aaron, who was on the team too, was like, I almost regret not like running in high school and college because of like how fun that really was. Like, that was the first time any of us had been in that situation where we were really like, you know, a relay of against other teams, right? And like, in the same proximity, you know, we've done a marathon relay before, but that's like, that's so different. You know, you don't see the other marathon, you know, you
don't
see
the relays. Yeah, will you break down the logistics of this team relay you did? Because
right.
It sounded pretty intense.
Here we go. All right. So it was a 4x1200, which was the first round. And it was like through a park in Nashville at night. So it had like little lights along the road, so you really couldn't see certain spots of the road. Like, it was pretty crazy. They had people kind of guiding you, you know, with like lightsabers and stuff like this way, you know. So it was three heats, 10 to 12 teams each heat. Top five in each heat go to the final. And the final is 4x400. Right. So it was four of us from the Detroit area go out. And three of us had just run New York City 2 weeks before. So we, you know, we've been doing a lot of interval training, apparently. that's sarcasm.
Peaked.
And then the fourth person is she's an ultra runner. So she does like 50Ks, 50 milers, 100 milers. So she's definitely not doing like interval work on the track. So we're just like, okay, we're going to have fun. But then the energy started getting really like intense. And then like Lipscomb team shows up from Nashville. They have a team.
Okay.
Wild Ox is like their alumni team. They
like
pull
Lipscomb
up.
University? Like their university team showed up?
Yes. Right. And so like, and then their alumni team, Wild Ox, shows up. They've got a team and they have like jerseys and everything, bro. Like they're like decked out, ready to go. And so we're like, okay, we're just going to lose this all together. But it was really fun. We came in fifth in our heat. Third in our heat. So we advanced and then completely got annihilated in the 4x400. Like the distance, maybe the 1200, you can kind of like, it kind of evens out and the endurance kind of like helps a bit. But when I say like we were immediately 50 meters behind on within the first loop, it was bad. And then so Aaron looks at me, is like, he looks at us, he's like, look, just not last. J&L, just not last.
You know?
And then so like I get handed the baton last in the 400 and I'm like, I've never run a 400 faster than this. I don't even know, because like, you know, I didn't start my watch because you're getting handed a baton. You don't think about it. I know for sure that this is the fastest 400 I've ever run in my life. And I caught this guy with like legit maybe 5 meters left and like Ed like crossed the line just before he did. And it was the most fun I've ever had getting 14th place out of 15.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was so amazing.
So you think you broke 60, Tommy? If you had to guess, you think you broke 60? Yeah, nice.
100%.
I heard he broke 50. Yeah.
I don't know, but I definitely...
I don't know. We'll never know.
I've never run as... Because that's what all of us were saying. Because even in like training for marathons or even 5Ks, you never... There's not too many times where you just run 400 all out with no regard to your life, you know? You know, it's so like,
it's awesome.
And we all did that. Like, and it was amazing. Like the 1200, I did start my watch for the 1200. So it's a slight downhill off the start of the 1200. And I looked at like my Strava. It's like 350 pace for like 100 something meters or so. And then like, and then dramatically goes back up to like 5 something.
Yeah,
So like I averaged 513 for my 1200. But it was
Your body's like, alert.
Yeah, alert. Alert. You're dying, you know? Track hack on a Thursday night in Nashville.
I love that they coaxed you into a 4x4 because, like, a 4x4 is an amazing event, but it's so brutal that, like, no one wants to sign up for a 4x4.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we'll just lure you here.
And that was probably, like, the easier part, you know? Like, because for like, a 1200, just, like, out the gate, and you're just gassing it. It was tougher for me, at least. I think for all of us, we all kind of like agree because, you know, 400 goes by fairly quickly if you're like, you're just going.
Yeah, you can't think about a 400 too much, but a 1200.
Yeah, there's no time to think. So like the crazy part was like maybe 125 to like maybe 200 meters in, I could hear the winner. Like I could hear the confetti guns going off for the winner and I still have a whole 200 meters left. I'm like, why are we here? You know? We're not supposed to be here.
Hey, you were last, though. Yeah, there you go.
Just not last.
You fought for every place.
I'm gonna show you guys the video. I'm gonna post a video of the last lap because it wasn't. I have a video of like of me. If someone was standing still, they see me getting the baton, taking off. They show the winner come in and everybody else come through, and then they show me and this guy like the last minute like come.
Amazing.
So I'm gonna post a video soon. But it was
That's
so much
incredible.
Fun. Man. It was an on squad relay, you know, on running. They've done it like a couple different times, I think. But yeah, shout out to like the local on rep here who invited PR Project down there. So PR Project's all over the place now. But it was really fun, man. It was the most fun that I've ever had at a running event.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like when I ran track in high school, like relays were my favorite. Like it's so much fun because again, it just like it's a completely different dynamic, and you're racing for something so different than when you're just out there by yourself. It's so fun, and you have like more reason to dig even deeper than if you were just like running a 400. I love that. I miss, I want more relays like that. That's such a cool event. I feel like there needs to be more of that stuff after like high school and college.
Yeah, because there's not too many opportunities where like a amateur runner who just picked it up is going to really have a chance to like just randomly race with no, because there was no clocks. No, there's no time.
Nice.
It didn't matter. Like, yeah, it's just place. So there's no moment where like this happens for most people. And it was like, The skill level or speed level was very all over the place. I mean, it was like people, you know, college runners, and then like people that were just pulling up to have some fun and probably had no intentions of even, you know, making a qualifying round or whatever, but they just were a part of it, and it was great. It was such a really cool like thing, and it was an after party. It was dope.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Super dope.
That's excellent.
Yeah,
I mean, also shout out to them for making it a fun environment throughout, and then. I mean, it sounds like some of those details, like maybe clock not front and center, you know, lowers some of the barrier of intimidation. We have a local mile meet that happens in June, and then they have 4x4s at the end. And it's sort of hit or miss whether or not a lot of people show up and they're like, okay, we're all going to do this. Or I think certain years like this year, just like a chill of competitiveness sort of settles and everyone's like, nah, man, that's going to be horrible. And so there'll be like two teams and you're like, well, yeah, I mean, these two teams are really fast and they're really specialized and everyone else would probably lose to them. But like, there can be a lot of fun to be had, but it's more intimidating.
Right. Yeah, man. So I'm excited. Like my son's doing it. He's going to do the turkey trot. I don't know if I'll do it with him or not, but if I do, I'm definitely not going to race it at all. Cause I like have no intent, like I have no intentions of running hard again until like, you know, so I start training for these February marathons.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
If you're listening this deep into the podcast, what's coming up for you?
Oh, Osaka and Tokyo.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Tommy?
Yeah.
Dang.
What's the order? How does that work?
Osaka is like the 25th of February or something like that. And then, or 23rd, maybe. I don't know. Maybe 24th. I don't know. And then Tokyo is the next Sunday.
Wow.
Now that's a double.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's like, you're right there. Damn. Like, how many times you get to be in Japan? Like, I might as well just stay, you know?
You're like, Fuzi, you only ran one Japanese marathon?
Yeah, hey, that's bro. Yeah, step your game up, you know? And then yeah. I'll run, I'm going to run Tokyo with two GoPros.
Double fisting the old GoPros? I love that for you.
just to, like, one-up Kafuzi. But yeah, no, it should be great. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to it because I know he's excited and he's like, I'm gonna run today. Like he's like at that point where he is faster than he was, but doesn't understand maybe possibly that he could be faster than he is. So then like he does this thing where it's like, I'm gonna run, like, and it'll be 3 days before he's supposed to do the thing. Like if you've been running this whole time a little bit here and there, you'd be even faster than you are now. Like just. I'm trying to like push him, but not without pushing him. You know what I mean?
Trying to let him arrive there on his own.
Yeah. So I make fun of him. I'm like, yo, remember? Yeah. That's why your friend beats you in every meet. That's, you know, that's the type of stuff I say to him.
Yeah. That's good. A light shaming.
Yeah. I have a weird parenting style, bro. Like it's strange. Yeah, it's very petty. And it's like, it's all in fun. We talk a lot of junk. So it's good. I think. They may or may not be scarred. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Well, only time will tell.
Yeah. Only time will tell if I'm scarring my children for life. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part about these documentaries that come out. Like all our champions were scarred and you're like,
yeah.
Oh.
So it's like, do you as a parent purposely and intentionally scar your children?
Seems like there's an upside.
Yeah. Scar them for greatness on the road.
I mean,
upside is clear. Downside? Ambiguous.
Because I mean, downside is all, it's all about perspective, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the titles, those can be put on a resume. Trauma?
No. Nobody cares.
We all have
welcome to our parenting podcast.
Well, now that you're at mile whatever you are in your long run, now you need to go home and apparently you should scar your children.
Yeah.
If you take anything away from today's episode, it should be that.
Yeah.
figure out something real mean to say and just let it rip as soon as you walk in the store.
Let it rip.
Oh man.
Yeah, some local neighbors were like, "Will you coach our son in running?" And I was like, "I'm a 42-year-old man still enjoying this sport. Do you think I'm gonna push your kid very hard?" It's like a middle schooler. I'm gonna like, no, like, hey, let's make this fun. Like, here we go. Like, you have decades to go. This sport could be fun for many more years than you can even imagine.
Yeah, for sure.
Laura, what does are your high school kids, is their season done or any more running?
Yes. No, they are done.
Okay.
Yep. So they're on a little break. And then we go again in like a month and a half.
Indoor?
We don't really have an indoor season in Colorado, but a few of them do like two of the Air Force meets in like January and February.
Maybe if they knew someone who knew Mark Wetmore, get on that indoor track.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even get on that.
Oh wow!
About entering into like their home meet last year, just because I wanted to see what it was like to actually run on that track. I was like, it could be worth doing a mile, just to see.
Wow!
I don't know.
I've never been in it. Never been in the Pleasure Dome. That's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
Whoa!
Wow! I didn't see that one coming. What was that? I was supposed to.
I thought I'd hit you guys with that.
I was supposed
Maybe
to.
Maybe we just end it here. I feel like that's a good note to end.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
We
hit on a high note.
Peter, I was supposed to go,
All-time best.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. I hope everyone has fun at their turkey trots.
Yeah.
I think we've
everyone.
Yes, it's going to be a good week.
Beginning of the year, here we go.
I expect good stories next week.
I think that if all the listeners to the Relay Podcast, the Turkey Trot edition, if you run your turkey trot, tag us on Instagram, post a picture on Instagram and tag Relay Pod, and give us a shout out.
I would love that. I would love some good stories. Like maybe everyone, look out for the best story, or please submit.
Yeah, exactly.
Message us with things you saw.
Exactly.
Yeah, things you saw at your local turkey trot.
Awesome.
I love that for us. Yes. Please invite us on your turkey trot journeys.
Amen to that.
That would be great. Thanks, friends.
That wraps it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for enjoying the pod. Make sure you have a happy, happy holiday. Peace out from Relay.